great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, if you would have asked me yesterday at 10 a.m., hey, Aaron, what are you going to talk about tomorrow on the show? What are you going to talk about on Wednesday's Montana Talks? I'd say, well, we could talk about this debt ceiling deal. We could talk about, you know, the bills being signed into law or being vetoed by Governor Greg Gianforte. We could talk about the crazy woke agenda. We could talk about a bunch of topics, but why don't you tell me what you want to talk about? Because the show is called Montana Talks for a reason. So that's what I would have told you. That's what I did tell you at about 10 a.m. yesterday as we were wrapping up this show. And don't worry, we're going to get to a lot of your phone calls here this morning on Montana Talks, especially coming up in the second half of the program. We'll have the phone lines open to anything and everything you want to talk about here on the show. But we've got a great surprise addition to the lineup for you here this morning, a very timely guest joining us here in the first half of Montana Talks. We've got Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale joining us from Capitol Hill, covering one of the very topics we talked about yesterday, the debt ceiling deal that was announced over Memorial Day weekend. Of course, it was Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale who was the first to publicly come out swinging against this debt ceiling deal that was brokered between President Joe Biden and Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy. In a series of tweets sent out Sunday morning, Rosendale called the deal a disaster, while former GOP Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich praised the deal as a Republican win. But here's my question. This is the big question that I, still had following, a bunch of great phone calls and conversations we had yesterday on the show and different news that we've gathered. Why didn't House Republicans simply stand firm in their support of the plan they already passed about 1 month ago? While Speaker Gingrich makes some very good arguments in support of this deal and makes the point that Republicans were actually able to finally force the Democrats to compromise for a change, something that hasn't happened in decades, probably since Gingrich was Speaker himself, it still doesn't seem clear to me as to why Speaker McCarthy felt he couldn't stand by the original plan that House Republicans already passed. Did he lose a handful of Republican moderates that wanted to strike this new deal? Anyway, we're going to talk about that and much more with Congressman Matt Rosendale here right after our first break. Before we get to the break, though, here's the news out of Kevin Cork with Fox News Radio. We could see a vote as early as tonight.
For now, the debt ceiling deal struck by the President and the House Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, has actually passed a critical hurdle that should allow House lawmakers to vote on an agreement Wednesday evening. Now, the House Rules Committee actually approved something that's called the Terms of Debate for the legislation by implementing that agreement in a 7-6 vote. Despite the very close call, the House Speaker still likes his chances of pushing this budget over the goal line, even if many in his own party still think it's a terrible deal.
In fact, that was some of the words that Congressman Rosendale used, calling it a disaster. You might recall a recent CNN poll showed that over 60% of Americans agreed with House Republicans, lower spending and avoid 62-63, 406-201-6263. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, great to have Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale representing the Eastern District of Montana in Congress joining us from Capitol Hill here this morning. Congressman, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be back on. Listeners need to hear the truth.
Well, that's right. Well, and we're hearing so much information. You know, you got some conservatives saying, oh, this is a good deal. This is a great deal. You got others saying, no, this is the worst deal ever. So it's great to hear different perspectives on this thing. But before we get into why you are opposed to this debt ceiling deal, did I hear right that we could have a vote as soon as tonight on this? What are you hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to bring us in here directly within the next couple of hours, and they'll vote on the rule, which, for those who aren't familiar with the process, The bill has gone into the Rules Committee, and unfortunately, this is the kind of thing that I was fighting against in the first week of January, Aaron, and that was to get a rules package that allowed all of the members of Congress to participate equally. And so the first thing that they're doing with this bill is to eliminate all of that process, okay? This is the swamp as usual. They ran it through the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee voted that it's going to be what they call a closed rule, which means that the bill will come out to the floor and no one is going to be able to propose or submit an amendment to the bill. It's a closed rule. They're going to vote on that first, and then they will bring the bill up later on. If by chance we're able to defeat the rule saying no, that's not acceptable. This is not the process that we agreed to when we ran for Congress. We were supposed to be able to participate on an equal basis with everyone. If we can defeat this rule, then we're going to go back in and have to revisit the entire piece of legislation.
Interesting. So even though you've got fellow Freedom Caucus conservatives on that Rules Committee, they still advanced the package that contained that rule?
The two members of the Freedom Caucus that are on the Rules Committee voted against the rule. They did not want it to advance.
Interesting. All right. So could be a vote tonight. I listened to your remarks on Neil Cavuto's program on Fox Business yesterday, or at least on the Fox Business website, and I thought you made some very great points, because I think we can all agree, well, most of us can agree, that why don't we just stick with limit, save, grow? House Republicans were united. They already passed a plan. Senate Democrats went on vacation, have never put forth a plan. But I think the point you made on Cavuto's program was spot on, which is House Republicans united around a plan, moderates and conservatives alike. They passed Limit, Save, Grow about a month ago. Senate Democrats should have taken up the plan, proposed any changes they wanted, and then we could have deconflicted the two. So why not stick with Limit, Save, Grow? What changed? Did some of the moderates bail on the plan or what?
Kevin McCarthy went to the White House and negotiated a deal behind closed doors with Joe Biden. That's what fell apart. And this is the kind of thing that I was fighting against on the first week of January. Again, what you're going to hear this next couple of days, Aaron, is a bunch of technical language about non-defense discretionary spending, mandatory spending, you know, this bucket, that bucket. We're going to remove $1 billion here, and it's $10 billion over the next however many years. At the end of the day, let me reduce it down to some real basic explanations. The federal government will spend more money next year than it spends this year under this set of circumstances, number one. Number two, the ability where they say that we're going to be able to reduce this spending through the appropriations bills process, okay? That's the 12 bills that we are supposed to be developing that actually fund government. Right now, if this bill passes, it has a $4 trillion debt ceiling increase that gets the spending covered through January of 25, okay? And so there's not going to be any incentive for the Democrats or the moderates or the Senate to pass that appropriations bills. It's not going to be any incentive for them to do it whatsoever. And so what they're going to do is start setting the table for yet another great big omnibus bill to be heading over to the House. So this is an absolute insult to the American people. You're going to hear a lot of language about how it's such a great deal. You're going to hear discussions from leadership about there is nothing in this legislation for the Democrats. Nothing. If there is nothing in this legislation for the Democrats, watch and see how many of them vote for it. Do you think that they just were all of a sudden had a come-to-Jesus moment and they're going to vote conservatively because there's no extra spending in there for them? No. They're going to support it because the new Green Deal provisions are all still in this legislation. The student loan program, still in the legislation. The only thing that was stripped out of there was a little bit of the COVID money that has not been spent down yet. Oh, by the way, that's going to go over to Commerce, and it's going to give the president the ability to spend that where he wants to spend it. This is an absolute bad deal. And no, I will not be supporting it.
30 seconds before our break, and then we'll come back to Montana Congressman after that. If you were to have a prediction of how the vote might go tonight, Democrats, Republicans voting in support or against the bill, how would you break it down right now?
Look, I'm not confident. I'm not confident. If we can get 40 or 50, there's going to be more than the Freedom Caucus voting against it. You're going to end up with 40 Republicans voting against it. I do not have any idea how many Democrats will vote against it.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting, because I saw even more.
It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great to have Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale from the Eastern District of Congress here with us from Capitol Hill on the phone lines here, especially, after he really getting a lot of national attention. He was the first publicly to come out swinging against this debt ceiling deal that was announced over the Memorial Day weekend. And, yeah, as he mentioned, there's a growing number of Republicans who are criticizing this deal, and not just Freedom Caucus conservative members, but all even more moderate Republicans like Nancy Mace, as our friend John Jackson pointed out on yesterday's show. We're not only hearing from him, but if you want to jump in on the conversation, we're taking your phone calls as well. If you've got a quick question or comment for Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale, you can call in 406-294-0970. We had, in fact, Jenna in Kalispell called in during the break and just wanted to leave a question. Who owns our U.S. debt? We'll throw that to the congressman here in a second. But first, Megan in Columbus, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah. So what do you think of this Sheehy guy? I haven't heard anything from him on this debt fight, and I thought he was supposed to be running for Senate.
So are you talking about Tim Sheehy out of Bozeman, who, he hasn't announced that he's running for the Senate yet, but he is being urged to do it. So you're wondering what his position would be on this debt ceiling deal.
He hasn't said anything on it. I wonder what Matt thinks about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, great question, Megan. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to KBUL.
I don't answer for anybody else, Aaron. I answer for Matt Rosendale. Well, I can't even answer for our current delegation, much less the people that are walking around, the state that are making considerations about offices they may or may not run for. What I will tell you is that the process with which the legislation was developed is really, really flawed. And this is exactly the kind of things that I was fighting against on the first week of January when I said we have to restore regular order back to Congress. We have to have the ability for each member to participate, to be able to propose amendments on the floor. That's what we see in Helena. When you go to the legislature, that, it goes through the committee. It takes the committee process. And that's what we did with the limit, save, and grow legislation that was to address the debt ceiling issue that we are dealing with right now. And that, though, Aaron, we had, after all of the work that we put into that, not only did we come up with a $1.5 trillion debt ceiling increase, but we put a cap on it of March 31st of 24. And it was whatever came sooner, $1.5 trillion or March 31st, that we could continue to address the out of control spending that Washington does. When you take the debt ceiling and you increase it to January of 2025, they did not even put the number on there, because I truly believe that the decision was made, if they put out into the public that they were going to raise the debt ceiling by $4 trillion, that there would be such an outrage from the American people that they wouldn't have been able to get the bill even to this point. So they just put the date on there. And honestly, when the interest rates go up and the additional spending kicks in because they're not able to get the appropriations bills done, okay, what's going to happen is that debt ceiling is not even going to be $4 trillion. It's going to be greater than that. This is a bad bill.
So what happens if, okay, say if Republicans in the House stand firm and were to stand united and say, no, we passed the Limit, Save, Grow. We stand by it. The Senate needs to take it up and do their job. But then the Senate says no, the White House says no, and nothing's going anywhere. Do you just see the debt limit passed once again with nothing, like has always happened over the past three decades? Whereas you got Speaker Newt Gingrich saying, hey, at least you get something out of this debt ceiling deal, which is something Republicans have never gotten in the past recent decades.
But he's wrong. He is completely misguided. We are not reducing spending, Aaron. And so with all due respect to Speaker Gingrich, he's just flat out wrong on that. We are not getting anything. We are not getting the money clawed back that the Biden administration has allocated but hasn't spent yet. We are not getting true caps on the spending, okay, because the way that they have structured the caps on the spending, it's basically on 23 levels, and they still have the ability to waive that. They put you're going to hear a lot about this PAYGO, okay, provision, but it strips away the ability for it to be enforced because it falls to the Biden administration to do so. So all of these guys, unfortunately, just want to see some kind of a deal struck. What we could do, okay, what we could do is we could send another bill over to the Senate right now, and we could take back the money that was allocated for the 87,000 IRS agents, and we could take the unspent COVID money, okay? That's getting now down to about $30 billion. We could take the $80 billion from the unspent funding the IRS agents, and that together would get us through to the end of June. On June the 15th, the federal government is going to receive the second largest influx of revenue that it does in the course of the year because all the corporate taxes are going to come due. So we would be able to have this conversation again. By giving up the ability to hold the debt ceiling, okay, at any kind of a level, then the Republicans in the House will give up all ability to negotiate anything. We basically are going to give all of the decision-making power and authority back over to the Democrats.
Yeah, I thought when Congressman Chip Roy, our friend out of Texas, made that argument on Fox over the weekend, I thought that was a very good case he made for that. He's, yeah, hey, just strip out the billions for the IRS, 87,000 agents, strip out the unused COVID funds. That gives Yellen time, and we don't hit that debt ceiling deadline, and we can continue to negotiate. What if that plan, though, doesn't move forward, doesn't advance? Is it your belief that we're better off just if the rest of Congress just passes a straightforward debt ceiling hike other than the deal that's been proposed over the past weekend?
Oh, it just continues to pile up debt on the American people again. If a debt ceiling increase is passed without any kind of clawbacks, rescissions, or adjustments made, then you put this out-of-control spending on autopilot, and it's going to continue to climb, and it's going to continue to devalue our dollar. It's going to continue to increase the inflation rates. People say, how long can we sustain it? I don't know, Aaron. I will tell you that the Russians and the Chinese are getting together. They're trying to get more and more countries to recognize the yuan or some other form of monetary consideration instead of recognizing the dollar as the reserve currency. And all of these things lead to an enormous economic failure.
Yeah,
and so we
it's
have
already
to
unsustainable.
Out of control spending.
It's not a question of how long can we sustain it. It's no longer sustainable. It's just a question of what are we going to do about it. All right, hold that thought, Congressman Rosendale. We've got a caller on the phone lines near Forsyth, Montana, right now. Jesse, thanks for the call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Hi, yeah, this is Jesse. You know, I just had a quick question about this debt ceiling. So I've been hearing on the news that Thomas Massey is supposedly the swing vote for this rules committee, and supposedly he's supposed to be a libertarian-type congressman. He should be totally opposed to this deal. So I'm wondering, do you have any insight, Congressman Rosendale, on Thomas Massey and if he is going to support this in the rules package?
All right. Great question. Yeah, I saw a couple of things about Massey in the news as well out of Kentucky. Congressman Rosendale, your thoughts?
He did vote to bring the rules package out of the Rules Committee. And so one has to assume that when it is brought to the floor for the rules package to be voted upon, that he would say he would still vote for it. I mean, I don't know why he would vote for it in the committee and then vote against it on the floor. So I have to assume that he's going to vote for it. So then it's going to be up to the number of Republicans and Democrats to see if we can get 218 votes mustered together to vote against this rules package on the floor and then send it back.
I'd be remiss if I didn't go back to the question from Jane in Kalispell. I knew I threw it out there and then we went to a phone call, but she asked, who owns our U.S. debt? I know that is
a good question.
It's a mixed bag, but I know China owns a good chunk of it, right?
No, you know, they have a little bit, but not that everybody should sleep easier.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the American people own about 25 trillion of the $32 trillion. So that's all out in investments and bonds and treasuries that the American people, whether as institutions or as individuals, own. I do believe that China is up to, I don't think it's $2 trillion yet. I think it's somewhere just below $2 trillion of that debt. It's the total debt that is a big problem. I mean, we're looking at about $32 trillion, and it's increasing at an exponentially faster rate. That is another big, big problem. The interest alone on all of that is going to start consuming so much of our revenue that the federal government collects within the next 10 years that we are not going to be able to sustain the obligations that we have to our seniors. We're not going to be able to sustain the obligations that we have to our veterans.
We're going to be spending more on that than we're going to be spending more on our national credit card debt payments than we are on our military and our defense. About 30 seconds to go. Congressman, great to hear from you here this morning. No matter what happens with this debt ceiling deadline, the deal or no deal, either way, the real big fight is appropriations this fall. Would you agree? Or disagree?
No, if this goes through the appropriations deal, the rug will be pulled out on that. I will tell you right now, the rug will be pulled on that, and you're going to see the Senate starting to put together an omnibus bill almost immediately, whether they're doing it behind the closed doors or out in the public. But that's what they would do, and they will basically push off the appropriations process. They will come up with their own omnibus bill, and they're going to try and jam that over on the House side. My guess is that it will be riddled with thousands of earmarks, like many of those omnibus bills are. So this is the fight. This
All right.
is a really, really
We gotta
big
hold
fight.
It there, Congressman. Thank you.
This is Where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
USDA is extending the deadline for the Emergency Relief Program Phase 2 in the Pandemic Assistance Revenue Program to July 14th. The goal is to give producers more time to apply for the assistance. USDA's Farm Service Agency is partnering with 9 organizations to provide educational and technical assistance to ag producers and provide assistance in completing an ERP Phase 2 application. The groups include Farmers Legal Action Group, the North-South Institute, Rural Coalition, and others. For more information on the 9 organizations and their contact information, go to fsa.usda.gov.
Western Ranch Brokers is an industry-leading Montana ranch and farm real estate company with deep and strong Montana roots and values. They know the gravel road shortcuts, the value of water, and that good neighbors keep tight fences. They are personable, dynamic, driven, and principled advisors that deliver the highest level of marketing strategies in the industry. When you're ready to pass on your ranch's ownership, their results speak for themselves. See the difference at WesternRanchBrokers.com.
Returning back this morning, nearly 81% of the state's spring wheat is planted, with 63% of the crop emerged. As for sugar beet production, 39% of the crop has been planted, and 56% of the winter wheat crop has joined it. I'm Lane Northland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, phone lines are wide open for you. That was great to sneak in some callers and some of your messages that you had left with our producer, Travis, even during the breaks. Great to sneak in your calls so that you had a chance to talk with Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale, representing the Eastern District there. I can throw out questions all day long, but you guys always have the best questions, and your comments are the ones that matter. The voters out there all across the state, and especially those of you near Forsyth who called in and Columbus, you're in that Eastern District of Congress. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. What'd you think about what Congressman Rosendale had to say there about the budget deal? Be interested in your reactions, or if you got something else you want to talk about, we've got the phone lines open right now. Anything and everything you want to talk about right here on Montana Talks. Now, Congressman Ryan Zinke from the Western District of Congress, both he and Matt Rosendale have represented the state at large in previous congressional sessions as well. James Conner is a liberal blogger, good guy. He may have a different perspective than you or I, but I think he approaches things from an honest perspective. So I always enjoy reading his perspective. But he throws out the question: will Ryan Zinke vote for or against the McCarthy-Biden debt ceiling deal? The last I heard, Congressman Zinke said he was reviewing the bill. Which I think is a perfectly appropriate response as well. I think all of us would rather that the GOP just supports limit, save, grow. The House Republicans already united around that plan. They actually passed a plan. Biden was gallivanting all over the world or shuffling around the White House, refusing to negotiate with congressional Republicans. Senate Democrats went on vacation. They weren't even putting a plan together. And I think it's because they thought they could do what they always did, which is Republicans balk at a debt ceiling hike. They try to lower spending, but the Democrats and the liberal mob media do what they always do and say, no, we're going to increase the debt, whether you like it or not, no strings attached. And they've gotten away with it for decades. And now I think what changed is they quickly realized that the American people agree with the conservatives and agree with House Republicans that no, we have got to lower spending. This is unsustainable. This is a huge challenge. This is the national security threat, which is the debt facing this country right now. And China knows it. Russia knows it. And they know it too, yet they want to keep piling on more debt. And so even a CNN poll showed that 60% of the American people are saying lower spending and avoid default on the debt. That's what Limit, Save, Grow did. So why aren't they just sticking with Limit, Save, Grow? What changed? I think that's the answer to the question that a lot of us still want to find out. Were there a few moderate Republicans who caved? What? What was the deal? Well, you got to hear the perspective of Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale, who I thought brought up several good points. But I still also have this broader question. Is okay, if we can't get Limit, Save, Grow across the finish line, and this debt ceiling deal is the only thing still on the table, what's the better option? Is it taking this debt ceiling deal that's being praised by former Speaker Newt Gingrich, who actually got the job done in the 1990s, so I think he carries a lot of credibility? Stephen Moore, a former Club for Growth guy, a former Wall Street Journal editorial board member. Steve Moore has the Unleash Prosperity, the Committee to Unleash Prosperity now. He says, you know, hats off to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. 8 weeks ago, we had a president who was throwing a hissy fit and insistent that he would never negotiate any deal on the debt ceiling, even though he was the one who, as vice president under Obama, negotiated the 2011 debt ceiling deal. And Steve Moore says this: of course, we would have liked to see deeper spending cuts, but the reality right now is Republicans only control one half of one branch of government. The only way to get more progress in restoring fiscal sanity is to get a new president elected in 2024. As a short-term fix, the debt deal stops the bleeding. And in today's Unleash Prosperity hotline, Stephen Moore is sharing the details from a new CBO, Congressional Budget Office, report that would show that this debt ceiling deal, at least according to Steve Moore and Speaker Gingrich and others, and according to the CBO, would save $2 trillion in spending compared to what Joe Biden and John Tester want to spend. Here's what Speaker Gingrich had to say on Hannity's program last night.
Well, look, I think it's pretty straightforward. If you look at where we were going, which was the Biden position of no amendments of any kind, no negotiations, just keep raising the debt ceiling, keep going business as usual. And you look where over 100 days, the House Republicans, who shocked the country by actually passing a bill that had real change, real reform, real cuts. And the truth is, we are not nearly as well off as we'd like to be because we didn't have a Republican president to negotiate with, but we're dramatically better off than we would have been if we just rolled over for Joe Biden. So the question, I think, for Republicans, and probably where Congressman Bishop and I have the deepest disagreement, is the consequence of a no vote. I believe, having done this, as you know, in my new book, A March to the Majority, where I explain how we spent 4 years negotiating with Bill Clinton, getting to the only 4 years of a balanced budget in your lifetime. We did it one step at a time. Well, this is the first step. Now, Republicans can decide it's a pretty reasonable first step, not everything they want, but it starts the game towards the balanced budget, towards appropriations this fall. Remember, what McCarthy did was establish a ceiling, not a basement. So you can cut from the ceiling down further.
All right, yeah, that was Speaker Gingrich on Hannity's show last night. Let's jump right back into the phone lines for your reactions and more. Ken in Great Falls, great to hear from you. What's your thoughts?
Well, what the Rosendale was saying, that the $80 billion for the Internal Revenue Service. Well, for every dollar we spend on the Internal Revenue Service, we get $6 back from taxing the rich, having them pay what they need to pay. You know, the poor guy, he doesn't cheat on his taxes because it's taken out every paycheck. It's the rich guys that are always cheating, and that's who they're going after. So that was the cut that the Republicans wanted to save their lying, cheating, stealing businessmen owners from being paying their true taxes, which would lower the deficit. We used to have tax rates up around 70% on the rich. That's before we had the deficits. That's, these Republicans wouldn't put in any tax increases on the rich to help pay this deficit. That's where you're going to pay the deficit, is get back to the tax rates we used to have when we didn't have a deficit.
So increase taxes. That's how to pay for the deficit. I guess folks could possibly believe you there and go with the argument, because you would think, well, if we raise the taxes, that would bring in more revenue. Except for that hasn't been the case time and time again. In fact, when we've cut taxes, we've actually increased revenue exponentially. We did it under the Trump tax cuts. We got the Trump bump in revenues, as Lou Jones so accurately described it. What started happening, you know, Steve Bullock, who was the Democrat governor at the time, said, well, if we cut these taxes, we're going to see a massive hole in revenue in Montana as a result of it. That was Bullock at the time opposing the Trump tax cuts. Instead, we got a Trump bump in revenue. So I think if we raise taxes, we would actually see the opposite occur, and we would see our debt climb even higher. So it's not the tax cuts that are to blame. It's the spending that's to blame. And the IRS, it's already been documented that they use the additional IRS agents to go after minorities.
Block.com. Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I want to get to Tom in Bozeman, Pete in Missoula, and if you want to call in, if we have time, call in right now, 406-294-0970. I kicked off the show saying, hey, if you would have asked me at 10 o'clock in the morning yesterday, what are you going to talk about on Wednesday's Montana Talks? I would have been like, well, here's why, is I don't want to bog down our show talking about something else when the big story of the day pops up in the meantime. And then tomorrow, we're not talking about the big story of the day. So that's why we really try hard to stay timely and relevant for you and to get a lot of your phone calls in on the show. However, for tomorrow's show, I can tell you what we will talk about, at least for part of the show. We'll probably get more phone calls and things like that, too. But I can tell you that tomorrow we will also hear from Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke about this whole debt ceiling deal as well. So I can tell you that much. What else we're going to talk about, who knows, because that's up to you, because we take your phone calls. Let's go to Tom in Bozeman. Tom, what's going on?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
So, as usual, our liberal friend up in Great Falls there doesn't know what he's talking about. I believe the actual statistics are something like 10% of the richest people in this country pay 90% of the taxes. And I believe something like 40% of the people in this country don't pay any taxes. But that's not what I call it.
And if they don't want to pay their taxes, they can afford the lawyers to figure it out, unlike a lot of us, right?
Right. So anyway, the debt ceiling business, as many years as I can recall, every single year, they go through the same thing. They wait till the 11th day and 11th hour, and then they're scrambling and fighting, and then they raise the debt ceiling. And nothing really changes. When they talk about spending cuts, it's really not a spending cut. All they do is shift their papers around and revert back to possibly maybe what it was a year ago or two years ago. So the spending is the same, and they didn't cut it, but they call it a cut. And I don't know what's all in this bill. I don't think probably anybody does. I believe it was Mark Levin or somebody else who, in my opinion, by the way, is probably the most smartest, articulate conservative spokesman in the country today. But I think he was saying, I think it was Mark, apparently there's in this bill, there's millions of dollars in there to build some kind of a facility in Pakistan for LGBTQ people. So can you, I mean,
probably.
Yeah, that's just,
Tester and the Democrats were funding drag queen story hours for Ecuador, which is a 92% Christian country. But Tester wants to fund drag queen story hour in Ecuador, you know.
Yeah, it's important. And then, you know, it's just loaded with climate change stuff, you know, that, you know, until somebody can, politicians, I guess, the only ones we can count on, they can't count on them, but until somebody is able to wake up and curb all this climate change and, you know, anti-petroleum products and this and that, one of these days everybody's going to wake up and they're going to be damn cold and hungry.
Yeah, well, let's hope it doesn't get to that. Let's hope they can claw this stuff back. Tom, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Peggy in Highwood, stand by. I definitely want to hear from Peggy in Highwood, but we got Pete in Missoula, I promised to get to first. Pete, what's your thoughts?
Well, I thought I heard this morning on the radio, or somebody said, that this bill would restore regular order in the House, meaning regular budgeting, regular, what do they call that when they spend their money? And I never heard that from Rosendale. That's what I would ask him, but of course I was fumbling around, couldn't find the damn phone number, which means it.
I hear you on that one. Well, that's why, shameless plug, if you had the Montana Talks app on your smartphone, you wouldn't need the phone number because there's a call button right there. You could just call right from the app.
You're not a smartphone guy.
I figured as much. No, I hear you. I thought he addressed that. That was one of his criticisms, is that in the Rules Committee yesterday, the package that passed the Rules Committee, they are not allowing regular order with this vote today, no amendments. So that's actually one of his criticisms of the vote that's taking place later tonight.
So he's disputing that. Who said that?
Good question.
I thought I heard it this morning.
Yeah, if you find out, let me know, because I'm kind of with you on this. You hear one thing from this guy, you hear another thing from that guy, and a lot of us are out here saying, can we just curb the spending? Whether it's this deal that does it or the original deal that does it, we've got to curb the spending. We've got to rein it in. That much we do know. Yeah, great question, though, Pete. Thanks for calling. Peggy in Highwood. Great to hear from you, Peggy.
Hi, I'm calling about what Tim said about the IRS agents going after the rich. The rich can afford accountants and tax attorneys. Accountants know all of the laws, so if you want the rich to pay more taxes, change the laws. It's the middle-income person that cannot afford to fight against the IRA agents, so they're the ones that get hit the worst.
Well said. It reminds me, you remember Dodd-Frank? We're going to go after the big banks on Wall Street. Well, the big banks on Wall Street have entire floors in New York City of lawyers to combat those folks. But your Main Street folks here in Montana, you think they have a whole building full of lawyers to combat this stuff? So who ended up getting harmed? Not the big banks on Wall Street.
That's right. And I know what I talk about because I used to be a tax preparer.
Oh, wow. Do you do that for free, community service time at all for folks?
Actually, yes. There is a Montana Help tax preparation, and I worked for them for quite a few years.
Oh, cool. Oh, very cool. Well, next spring, we're heading to Highwood. We're going to go see Peggy. Peggy, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. I should give a plug. Military One Source for you military folks out there does